And we're back here on Unusual Sources 93.3 CFMU, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca, our online streaming service. And we're very pleased to have publisher Robin Philpott with us. He is, of course, the publisher of Baraka Books, and he's going to be giving us some information about what's been going on in Quebec. So, Robin, thank you very much for being on the program today with us.
Well, thank you, Brendan, for inviting me.
You know, it's not the first time we've had you on the program because there's been so many exciting events happening in Quebec. It's been one thing after another. Sadly, we've been hearing very little about it. But you've fortunately been there. You're on the ground. You see these things. You're involved in all sorts of activities. Of course, you have something of a bird's eye view of this situation because of your experience in this matter. I mean, Baraka Books takes on a lot of social issues, for example. I know one of the ones that caught our eye here in Hamilton was your book series. It's not just one book. It seems to be a whole series about mine workers.
Right.
What's the name of that series or title?
Oh, that's the Nickel Range Trilogy. But that's about the Sudbury area, but it's very common. It's steel workers working in the mines in the Sudbury area, written by the great journalist and author Mick Lowe, who's trying to bring to life this fascinating and exciting labor history of the Sudbury area. And, you know, major battles that were going on, that was almost like the Cold War was being fought in Northern Ontario. So
yes, quite literally. I mean, I understand the book talks about, you know, intelligence agencies getting involved in this strike and trying to take, you know, direct certain outcomes. The Cold War was being fought, and the whole issue of the boss, the company, is very prominent right now in Hamilton. And, you know, with what's happened with U.S. Steel and what they're trying to do to the pensions that workers had earned and fought for over a period of many decades in this city. So we'll be keeping a close eye on the mine workers series and publicity. And we're going to see what's happening with the steel workers and our MPs in Hamilton. So I'm glad that Baraka Books covers things like that. And, you know, just before we go on, it relates to today's discussion. You have a book coming out just now about the Scandinavian economy and society and how they try to have a positive role for social institutions and society. I mean, is that what that new book is about?
Yeah, it's a translation of a book which came out here in Quebec a year or so ago, written by some specialists in public health and social policy. And they took a very close look at Scandinavian policies doing with inequalities in health. And it's absolutely striking, and it's something that would give us all, should give us all pause for thought in this election, and that austerity is not the only answer to economic problems, whereas nobody seems to be able to, in the political field anyway, seems to have a good discourse for fighting against austerity. I mean, we have a major fight going on here, which we'll talk about shortly, but and the examples of policies there where they have, you know, there was this gap between the rich and poor is much smaller in Scandinavia, and the basis of their policies is inclusion, including people, equality between men and women, access to daycare. There's a whole group of policies which these authors studied, and the book will be out in a few weeks. It's called Scandinavian Common Sense, and it's called Policies to Tackle Social Inequalities in Health. And it's really fascinating. I mean, you don't have to be a revolutionary, although sometimes it'd be useful, but, you know, there are areas, there are places in the world where they've tackled inequalities and major health problems. And I'll tell you, Canada has a very, very sad record when it comes to dealing with child poverty, general poverty, the income gap between the rich and the poor, and they bring this all out in this new book.
Yeah, we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world, so many children right in this city alone growing up in poverty. But in Scandinavia, it seems that there's elements of that model that it could be a lesson for us. So I'm glad that book is coming out. What did you say the title was again?
It's called Scandinavian Common Sense and Policies to Tackle Social Inequalities in Health. And it has more to do with, it deals with sustainable development, policies to ensure inclusion, policies to deal with the homeless, policies of sustainable development, a varied group of policies that are not only health policy, you know, but it has the, and they show in this book, and I don't think it's been done very often, where people have actually looked at these policies and say, well, why is it happening? You know, it's not some cultural thing. It's actual policy that's dated probably since the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
The book came out because, and I think that the authors who are now in a major fight themselves, because they're in the public health system here in Quebec, and they're in great contradiction with the current government in Quebec, the authors of this book.
Right. So, I mean, wow, it really does relate to what we're talking about today. And I guess, you know, we really want to get on that. And that is, of course, there's huge news as usual. Once again, this time something like 130,000 people marched recently in Quebec. Now, the fun part about that is we didn't hear about it in Hamilton or in Toronto.
You'll hear about, 200 people demonstrating somewhere, in Syria or in, Iran or in the Ukraine, but you won't hear about 150,000 people demonstrating against the current Liberal government here and its policies of austerity.
Yeah, we don't need to know about that. It's true. Anyone that the Associated Press likes, 20 people somewhere in Russia will get an article. But no, somehow we missed out once again on more than 100,000 people marching right here in Canada, or what's supposed to be Canada. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you're going to really have to school us on this because we are so ignorant. There's a curtain of silence over Ontario and probably all of English Canada. I did not hear a peep about this latest massive event in Quebec. So, I mean, this demonstration...
The demonstration was on October 3rd, and it was organized by the Common Front of Trade Unions, whose contracts are coming up. And the current Liberal government of Couillard is attacking basically all aspects of what has been known here as a social democratic model that has been basically built since the 1960s in Quebec, and he's demolishing it, and they're going after health, they're going after daycare, they're going after education, general services, and it's accompanied by privatization whenever they can, including the health system, and so the unions. And more than just the unions, by the way, in which I'll get on to, but they formed a common front. Now, the common front, for people who are a little older, might remember in the 70s, we had these epic strikes in the public sector, common front, where it was even a general strike. 1972, there was a general strike. It started out with the public sector, and the private sector walked out as well. And it was the premier was Robert Bourassa. The three union leaders, the QFL, CSN, and what was called the CEQ then, it's now the CSQ, defied back to work legislation, and the leaders of the unions were locked up. This was in 74. Now, the Common Front has been off and on over the years, but they've built it up again this year. And during this demonstration, they gave the figures of 150,000 people, and nobody challenged those figures. I was there, and it was enormous. Now, during the demonstration, and one of the things that shows the quality of the demonstration, is they had videos streamed as you'd walk by, playing films of the earlier Common Front and showing them the slogans and getting people to revive the old slogans about the common front. In other words, which is very encouraging, because there's all this, you know, people don't even know what happened yesterday, and how are you going to know what happened in 75 or 85 or so on in those times. So, and it showed the militant spirit of the unions at that time, and the speeches were extremely good. All three union leaders who spoke were from rank and file union workers. So they weren't a bunch of intellectuals. They were rank and file workers who are leading the unions there. And so it was a very militant demonstration. Now, one of the things they pointed out is that they have strike mandates throughout the public sector, throughout the Quebec, not strike mandates of 55-60%, but 85-95% of the people are prepared to go on strike, and they are doing starting rotating strikes on the 26th of October. And just an example, just today, there were a whole series of actions today that included one where they occupied the bureaus of the KPMG, which is the accounting offices who made an agreement that came out during the election here with Harper to protect people who invest in tax havens. So they want to say, well, okay, you know, we want to have some money, you can go and get it in the tax havens, which are being protected by our government.
Tax havens.
Yeah. In other words, it came out a few weeks ago, a week or so ago, that Harper had made an agreement with this accounting office to basically protect the people who are staying in what they call tax havens or tax paradise, and paradis fiscaux is in French. So anyway, it is the idea that you're raising what the common fund stood for before, and that is very much part of your of the what's going on here now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems to be something very interesting and exciting happening, which is especially for listeners that might not recall. In 2012, 2013, we had massive mobilizations by Quebec students to protect themselves from a tuition hike that the government was implementing, very unpopular tuition hike. They had massive demonstrations, a whole Quebec student movement. It was called the Maple Spring, and they succeeded in stopping the tuition hike. And some people thought it was going to be all over at that point, that there'd be, no. But other people at that time were saying, no, this is going to transform into a generalized anti-austerity movement. In other words, a movement to protect the social gains that Quebec people had made since World War II in terms of having public health care, public pools and recreation, education, as well as unionization in the public sector and things like that, so that they could have a decent standard of living for themselves and their families. So what is happening now is, as the government of Quebec continues to assault and threaten education, health care, and so on, more and more people are coming out, and not just students anymore. Of course, students are still present in large numbers, but now we're seeing a more coordinated mobilization of unionized workers in the public sector, but also over the education issue. You have families coming out. I understand one of the things I've been reading about. I mean, I've been looking at some of the hashtags. There's a Manif en cours and Manif de Avril, the 2nd of April. I mean, there's these hashtags that have the word manif, the manifestation and these protests. And you look it up, and there's so many things happening there. One of them has been the human chains. People seem to be forming human chains, perhaps, right, around the schools. I know that they're relating this to the common front. But what one of the slogans I'm seeing now is Je protège mon école publique.
Exactly.
I protect my public school. So that seems to be a big thing right now.
Yeah, and which is very significant, because every time the teachers start fighting against cutbacks, the media and the government, if they try to divide teachers and parents, in other words, they try to drive a wedge between them. And when the school started back in the end of August, early September, they started these human chains around schools, saying, "I'm protecting my school," and it was be parents, children, with backing the teachers, and the school board leaders were out at some of these things too as well. So in other words, it was surprising. I think it actually surprised the government. And just an aside, you did mention the students. Interesting enough, the one sector that the current Liberal government, austerity government, the Liberals, did not attack this time around is the students, which is almost like tipping their hat saying, listen, we don't want to fight with you again because you can win. And it doesn't mean the students are present, are present in these demonstrations, but they are, you might say they're taking a back seat, which is interesting. I mean, you can tell by the crowds that there are a lot of students there, but they're not student-led demonstrations. It's worker-led demonstrations, and with families, a lot of families.
Oh, yes, that's just it. The students know they have to protect the tuition freeze, or the they prevented that hike, and they need to protect that situation. But that means an expanded struggle. It means not just protecting themselves against tuition hikes, but they have to get involved in protecting against government cutbacks generally, against this atmosphere of austerity, in which there's union busting and all these measures and this pro-business tax cuts where the wealthy continue to get more and more tax cuts while public services are told that there's no money. So in order to protect the schools and your own education, you have to protect your future. You have to protect pensions, retirement funds. You have to protect health care. You have to protect those things and the infrastructure of your province, your country, if you want to protect these gains for yourself. And so, I mean, that seems to be a core value here, where you had the student strike a few years ago starting up, people talking about public sector and the problem with commodifying education and commodifying human life, and then it expands into labor, and it brings back those ideas of the common front in Quebec, which had been, I guess, prevalent in the 60s and 70s or onwards.
Yeah, you have the building of a common front, and one of the points which is continually brought out in these demonstrations and in these events is that the main targets of these of these cutbacks and the austerity budget, the austerity policy, is women. Women are a majority in the public sector, especially in education, health. They are a majority in there, and they are the ones who are being really hit. They're being hit with the daycare cutbacks in daycare. We built up this in Quebec a very good daycare system. It wasn't perfect, but it was doing very well. And the Liberals are cutting back on it, raising the cost for parents and families. The main targets of this are women. And there's just a book being launched today by a young woman who's a student, was involved in the student strike in 2012. Her name is Aurélie Langteau, and her book is entitled Les Libéraux Détestent les Femmes. The Liberals Detest Women. It's been being talked about a lot. It really points out how their policies of austerity are aimed at attacking women.
Oh, absolutely. For those who are just tuning in, of course, we're speaking with Robin Philpott, a publisher of Baraka Books, launching many new books, including one today about Scandinavia and how they protect social programs in the welfare state, which is the issue that we're looking at in Quebec right now after 150,000 people demonstrated this month to protect public sector workers and prevent cuts to education and other sectors. And you mentioned, Robin, yes, that women are being targeted here. It seems that corporations are getting tax cuts. Rich people are getting tax cuts. There's money for war. There's money. But the government will always turn around and say, well, we got to tighten our belts. And who's going to tighten their belts? Women, children,
Sure. And who are going to tighten the belts? Are the people whose belts are already pretty tight? You know, in other words, it's a steady transfer from of wealth from the working class and the working population to the people who have a lot of money. That's what's going on here, and it's constant.
But what's great is that you're not taking it. And you see, in Ontario, you mentioned the teachers and how people banded together in Quebec. They're banding together right now to protect education and so on. And the way it's being done is it's not an adversarial thing where the parents are shouting and screaming at teachers and teachers are being attacked in the newspapers for, you know, blocking kids. It's more than that, because you have the parents saying, no, my child deserves an education, and it should be affordable, it should be reasonable, something that I can fund through my taxes. And they are going and they are supporting the teachers who are involved in these activities.
It's been well organized. I mean, there are still attempts, and there are right-wing mouthpieces coming out and trying to say that the parents are being the hostages, the children are the hostages, but in a sense, you know, the parents have seen this coming, and who knows, there might be parents who were involved in the strikes in 2012 and so on, and they say, there's no way we're going to get tricked into going after the teachers, because they know the teachers are doing their best, and the teachers are having a very hard time. They have cutbacks, and they have larger classes now. That's one of their goals. They have fewer services. They have a much more demanding schedule. They want to increase the number of hours, and most people know, especially primary and secondary school teachers, work overtime constantly. They have long hours. Their work is never done, and they are right now targeted. And once again, it's largely women who are being targeted.
Well, it's more than that. There's another group too that's being asked to tighten their belts. It seems that special needs students are going to get in for a rough time under the government's plan. It's because I'm told that there's certain education facilities or teachers or professionals that are needed for special needs children who might need help with writing and reading and so on. And they're going to be reorganized and reshuffled. They're not going to have access to those resources under the current plan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's true. I mean, there are I know one speech therapist who right now has to, and she was serving two schools, and now I think she has something like six or eight schools. It's just ridiculous. You know, people who need this help, and they just don't get it, and so the teachers are left, and then they have. They say special care. Well, what they're being saying, okay, a teacher who has 25 kids in a class will have to take in one or two more kids who would need specific help or psychologists or so on. Well, they're just not getting it, and so that makes it extremely hard for the teachers. And so it is it's a major battle brewing, and the state of the union movement is very encouraging, and I'm very surprised that we're in an election. I mean, it is not being discussed. You know, everybody was following Greece, fighting their fights against austerity, but here it just seems they want to keep it quiet. In Canada, they just want to keep it quiet that this is going on in Quebec as well.
Well, what's great about Quebec is that you guys are not staying quiet, and you have these demonstrations, and you haven't been listening to the hostile voices that say parents should be against teachers, you know, and they should be fighting and name-calling. We have these hostile voices here in Ontario, and they seem to be louder and more listened to, and people are divided, and parents are divided from teachers often, and you don't have that. But in Quebec, there's more of an understanding and a unity, and I think it seems that these demonstrations over the last few years have perhaps raised the social consciousness of Quebec, where now they understand that what it is that they're fighting for, that they have something to fight for, and that they need to work in.
Well, I might say that it isn't. There are a lot of these reactionary voices, as they all, a certain number of them came out, but they do become at a certain point totally. They become rejected by the population. In other words, because the certain parents, or a large number of parents, decided they were going to preempt any attempt to divide families from teachers, it put the reactionary voices on the defensive. They were the ones who had to, in other words, it is politics. In other words, there's enough people who saw this coming, and they said, okay, we have to do this, because they, but it doesn't mean that it's been won. In other words, because there are powerful voices still, and media, and that are, you know, are just very reactionary and very much against the unions, against the teachers, against in favor of austerity. So it is a big fight, but it is encouraging to see the leadership is encouraging, and that the people are seem to be remaining in solidarity. So.
Well, this is really spectacular news. I'm not quite sure where people can go to find news about it, because you certainly won't be able to read about it here in English Canada. Perhaps there.
Yeah, it's true. It's not very available in English. It's just, as you said, I was just, as you say, looking at hashtag Manif en cours and that kind of thing. You can get a picture, if you know a little French. I'm just looking at it as you were speaking. And you get a picture of things that are happening every day. I mean, there was a lot under that hashtag about this occupation today of the accounting firm.
Yes.
And this was aimed at the Quebec government, saying, we have to go after these tax havens. You need money? Go and get it there. Don't take it out of the pockets of the working people.
Right. And you know, people can also look for those slogans like Common Front or,
sure,
you know, Je protège mon école publique, that sort of thing. Right. And I'll mention that at the end. But this is really spectacular news, and it is encouraging. So, you know, thanks for keeping track of that for us. We really appreciate it. You know, more than that, of course, we know you got those books coming out. I mentioned at the beginning the one about the mine workers that already is out. There's two of those. One of them has a very unforgettable title, The Insatiable Maw.
Right. Well, it's a great book. It's about a union fight, and you could call it a subtitle, The Greening of Sudbury. And if people know Sudbury at all, they've been through there. If they would have been there through in the 70s and early 80s, they would see the lunar landscape. And because of a union battle over health and safety, the company was forced to build a huge stack and make it so that the pollution would be sent a long way away. And it was a major union fight, which Mick Lowe has fictionalized and made it an exciting story.
Yeah.
And that was volume two of his trilogy. Volume one was about the Cold War being fought out in the 60s in Sudbury. And volume three will be out hopefully next year sometime, and it's about a major strike in the 70s, late 70s. And Mick is a very skilled writer, and he's made a great story as well as being a story of a struggle. It's a great working class fiction.
Well, absolutely. And if people want to read up on these social struggles, past and present, history of Canada, looking at Sudbury, looking at Quebec, I mean, they can go to Baraka Books, and you've got a number of things. You're looking at Scandinavia, you're looking at social programs. So that's wonderful, and I'll let people know where to go. So thanks very much,
okay.
Robin. That's really great news for everyone.
Thanks for calling, Brendan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon.
That was, of course, Robin Philpott, publisher of Baraka Books. And you can find that online. Just use any search engine. It's Baraka, B-A-R-A-K-A, Baraka Books. And yes, they've got the Sudbury Mine Workers trilogy, two books out already. They've got the book about Scandinavian social programs and so on. And don't forget those hashtags, Manif, M-A-N-I-F. One of them is Manif en cours, M-A-N-I-F-E-N-C-O-U-R-S. Forgive my French. It's been too long since I've spoken it, but that's very good. So we'll be back shortly. We've got lots more stuff coming up, so stay tuned.